The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker. Thank you so much for joining us today for experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. We are on the eighth week of this journey. It's good to have you connect with us as a community of Jesus apprentices. We try to live the model of Jesus. The model of Jesus apprentices for this community is: you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is the way that we, apprentices of Jesus, of the Rescue Worker community, we are trying to live our lives. And in that way, we can love and serve like Jesus and be like Him. That's our main goal. As you know, each week of this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, we have a memory verse, a Bible verse from our reading for the week that we try to encourage you to memorize it. Well, the verse for today is the verse that we'll be studying today, reflecting today. And the verse comes from Luke 4:40. As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of His hand healed everyone. Jesus has power, and He touched people. He loved people with His hands, and through His hand, He healed people. That's so beautiful. And somehow, as apprentices of Jesus, we need to be related to this healing ministry, touching people and healing physically, spiritually, socially, emotionally, healing their family. We are here to promote a healing ministry because that is Jesus' ministry. Therefore, is our ministry as well. Today we'll be studying verses 40 and 41, and I need to confess to you, as I was preparing this morning for our time together here and for my own personal devotional, I came across a few ideas and thoughts that made me think and consider my beliefs, my behavior, and the way we understand spirituality and the way I do my spirituality. And I want to ask you to have a special season of prayer. I want to give you 1 minute so God can be with us and show us the direction, because maybe what I'll present to you maybe bring a challenge on how we perceive God and how we relate to Him and how we fulfill His commandments. But at the end of the day, we want to follow God. We may see things in a different way or in a different perspective, and that's okay. But we need to be attentive to the movements of the Holy Spirit and where He's leading us. So take this moment of reflection, a reflection that takes as foundation the Bible verse of Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it the most. God is available. He wants to have this encounter with us. This encounter comes through prayer, Bible study, in many different ways as well. And today we want to hear His voice and find grace and mercy. And maybe the grace and mercy that God has reserved for you today is here on the reflection of Luke 4, 40 and 41. So take this time to reflect, to pray, and to position yourself so you can be sensitive to the movements of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, at this moment we claim for your guidance. We ask for your Holy Spirit. We ask for empowerment. Open our eyes, open our ears. Help us to be prepared to hear your voice, to see you, and to be sensitive to the movements of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be part of Jesus' ministry, the ministry of healing. And I pray, Lord, for everyone that's listening to my voice that is facing a disease, a struggle, lack of peace, maybe problems on their family, issues on their work, so they can feel the healing hand of Jesus Christ. Be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So here we are. Luke 4, verse 40 to 41. But before we go and read, let's not forget the big picture, right? I know how amazing it is to go and study and think in different ways each word or phrase or verse. But as we do that, we cannot miss the big picture. Okay, would be lovely if we could just read the entire book in one shot, but that's not the goal, right? And it would be a long way. But anyhow, Jesus started his public ministry. His public ministry focuses in the synagogue in the region of Galilee. Then Luke takes us to Nazareth, where Jesus was brought up. There, he comes on the Sabbath day to the synagogue, and he shares a message that defines Jesus. And the message was, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Luke 4:18. "For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." So Jesus presents that as the essence of his ministry, in the mission for him to be being here, right? In Nazareth, people are not happy with that, and they try to kill Jesus. And they tried to kill Jesus on the Sabbath day. It looks like it's okay to kill Jesus on the Sabbath, but it's not okay doing other things. And we'll talk more about that. Then Jesus goes to Capernaum. Again, he's in the synagogue. He's on the Sabbath day. He's teaching. But also now, what we see on Jesus' Sabbath in Capernaum, he delivers the possession of the devil upon a young boy, right? He casts out the devil. So there is a deliverance. And when he does that, well, he's following the script for his life. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released. He's doing that, making that real. And he's that making that here on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. So he's delivering someone from oppression, a poor one, bringing, letting people set free, the oppressed set free, presenting grace. So he does that. After that, for the first time, we see a movement from the synagogue to a house. And Jesus goes to Simon's house. And there, what he does, he's on the Sabbath day, he healed the mother-in-law of Simon Peter. So how was the Sabbath Jesus? Was a Sabbath of teaching, deliverance, and healing. Right? That was the Sabbath of Jesus. This Sabbath reflects the mission of Jesus. You see, if Jesus' mission is to deliver, to proclaim, to release, to put forth the age of grace, that means that the day of the Lord, and Jesus many times throughout the accounts of the gospel, he says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. So I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is mine. And if the Sabbath is mine, I'll do what I'm supposed to do. And what Jesus is supposed to do? Release, proclaim, let people free, set people free. You see, the Sabbath must reflect the mission of Jesus. The Sabbath must reflect what Jesus does, who he is. And somehow, are we reflecting Jesus on the Sabbath day? Are we reflecting the mission of Jesus' apprentices? That it is what? To proclaim the good news to the poor. To proclaim the captives will be released. That the blind will see. That the oppressed will be set free. And the time of the Lord's favor has come. Are we doing that on the Sabbath day? That's an important question, because that was the way that Jesus kept the Sabbath. You see, you will never see Jesus going after or speaking against the Sabbath. He's going asking how people kept the Sabbath. And Jesus, as our example, he comes to present to us how to keep the Sabbath day. And the way he kept the Sabbath day is related to the kingdom of God. The Sabbath day is the day of freedom. The Sabbath day is the day of the proclamation for good news. The Sabbath day is the day of the poor. The Sabbath day is the day of the blind. The Sabbath day is for releasing. Can you see the connection? That's the reason we need to keep the big picture. But now we come to verse 40. As the sun went down that evening. Let's stop here. So what day we are? We are on the Sabbath day. Sun is coming down. Well, according to the Hebrew Bible, a day finishes at the sunset and a new day starts at sunset. Okay? So is the transition. This idea that a new day comes from midnight is a system that doesn't come from the Bible. Is a system that Romans brought up later, okay, and were implemented. According to the Bible, a day finishes and a day starts at the sunset. So the first part of the day is the dark side, the day, and we can see that related to the creation of the earth, right? And then comes the light. And as the night comes again, the evening comes again, starts a second day. So the day is coming to an end. The Sabbath is coming to an end. And it is starting a new day, the first day of the week, which we call in English Sunday. So as the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. Why did they bring only after the Sabbath was done and the first day of the week had started? Was because people were not sick on the Sabbath day and they just got sick as the week started? No. Yes. the people were sick, but why they did bring just after the Sabbath? And here's the point. They didn't bring on the Sabbath day because the Jewish leaders, the religious leader at the time, the Pharisees and many others, they brought such a heavy requirements for the Sabbath day that in a sense, the Sabbath day became a day of oppression. A day that we could not carry things, a day that we could not walk more than 1,000 steps, a day with so many regulations that you are a slave of this Sabbath day. So even though people were sick, they did have the answer for their sickness in Jesus Christ. Not to upset the Pharisees, not to break and have headaches, they decided to wait until the Sabbath day was gone. So the Sabbath was not the day of delivery. The Sabbath was not the day to make things free. The Sabbath was not the day to proclaim the kingdom of God. The Sabbath became a kind of a monastic day. You see, and here we need to pay attention. Let me keep an eye here on our time. This monastic lifestyle has the idea that I need to disconnect from real life and isolate myself to a place where I can be protected from temptation, from the worldly things, and concentrated exclusively in God through prayer, reflection, meditation, Bible study. Is there something wrong with prayer, meditation, Bible study? No, there's nothing wrong. But I think there's an issue here when I am living a life that is isolated and disconnected with the reality. And those that live this monastic life have the temptation to consider, because they are far from the world. They are far from temptation, focusing in prayer, Bible study, that they have a better relationship with God, that they are better than other people, and they can start pointing fingers in other people. And the main goal for them is to prepare for the kingdom to come. And here's their main issue. The Christians are not here to prepare themselves for the kingdom to come. Christians are here to implement the kingdom. The Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, is not for us to try to be perfect, stay where we are, so we can get into the kingdom. That is not the flow and the movement of God's kingdom here on earth. Otherwise, if that was the goal, as soon as we are saved, God will take us to the kingdom, to be perfect in the kingdom. No, but God, the movement is to bring, to establish the kingdom right now. The kingdom needs to be a reality right now to Jesus' apprentices. So yes, there's this important component of Bible study and reflection and must be part of the Christians. But the Christians cannot be isolated away. They need to be involved so the kingdom may manifest itself through the Christians. And somehow the Jewish people that developed this monastic way of understanding of life, and even they became took the Sabbath and transformed the Sabbath as a monastic day, a day for you to retreat, to isolate, for you to disconnect from the reality and to be holy. But what we see here is that Jesus kept the Sabbath day as a day of freedom, bringing the kingdom of God, manifesting the kingdom of God, the power of the kingdom, manifest the deliverance, the freedom, manifesting the healing on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day became the day of freedom, the day of the kingdom. And that was how Jesus did. I know some of you that are listening to me don't have the same religious tradition that I have. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. I believe on the observance of the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath, as a holy day for the Lord. And I believe in the second coming of Jesus. That's what means being a Seventh-day Adventist, right? Wait for the second coming and keeping the Sabbath. But how we keep the Sabbath cannot be on our own way. It needs to be God's way. It needs to be Jesus' way. And one of the verses that we use in Bible verses or Bible studies on about the Sabbath comes from Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14. And we love to use this Bible verse. And I'll read here. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the day and speak it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Hey, it's not your day, it's God's day. Honor the Sabbath day in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires and talk idly. So don't keep the Sabbath for you on your way, but keep the Sabbath, make it holy because it belongs to God. And how you make holy? Well, then we like to connect to Exodus 20, where it says, keep the Sabbath day holy, not working. Oh, you see? So if we don't work, we are keeping the Sabbath. And then we start adding, oh, if we do this monastic way of Sabbath, yeah, going to the nature, praying, going to a church service, then you're keeping the Sabbath. Well, I may suggest that those descriptions are related to our own ways to keep the Sabbath, the ways that we develop, the ways Jesus presented, and the ways that even Isaiah 58 talks about how to keep the Sabbath. It's a totally different way. Do you want to hear? So why not read a few other verses? So I read verse 13. Right? What about to read the verses that come before to understand what is the way that God expects us to have this relationship with Him on the Sabbath day? I will start for maybe verse 6. Oh, let's start verse 4. What good is fasting when you keep or on fighting or quarreling? This is kind of fasting you'll never get anywhere with you. You humble yourself by going through the motions penitence, bowing your heads like reeds, being in the wine, you trespass verbally and cover yourself with ashes. Is that your call, fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? So Isaiah is questioning fasting. Yeah, Pastor, but it's about fasting, not about the Sabbath, by the way. The only fasting that was required was on the Sabbath. And if you remember, there's the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, right? And there's the holy days, right, of rituals and holy days, of ceremonies on the Jewish Bible that are called Sabbaths as well. And the most holiest and the most holy day was the Sabbath of Yom Kippur, the Sabbath of Atonement. And that day was required that you would fast, that you would not take a shower, not having sex relationships, all that. And some people start keeping this Sabbath in this way, other Sabbaths. So people were proud because, oh, we are good because we keep the Sabbath. We do this fasting in this way. But what is the way that God wants? What's the way that God asked to keep the Sabbath? No, this is the kind of fast I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that blind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. verse 9, remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your fingers and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be bright as noon. You see, what kind of fasting, what kind of keeping the Sabbath that God requires from us is not us a monastic day, but a day of bringing deliverance. But Pastor, that's not the way I usually keep the Sabbath. Are you keeping your way or God's way? Jesus' way. The people didn't bring those that are sick because it was a Sabbath day. But Jesus, on the Sabbath day, he went to deliver, he went to heal people. But try in your church to separate one Sabbath a month or a Sabbath each semester to do service, to go out, and see what kind of pushback you will receive. But if we're truly apprentices of God, the Sabbath must be a day of freedom, like Jesus did. As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed everyone. And here we have a beautiful image of Jesus touching. Interesting, we don't see that related to, in the Hebrew Bible, the touching as healing. We see that in the New Testament. It's very clear on the church, people touching. For sure, there is a major touching of God in Genesis 2 and 1, when God creates mankind through his hands. You see, when God created the universe and this world, was all out of his speech, his word. He would say and things will happen. But at the time that he went to create mankind according to his image and his likeness, he touched them. So the touching of God is related to the likeness and the image of God. And what we see here is God touching again, transforming, healing, so people could look the image and the likeness of God again. Jesus was healing so he could restore the image and the likeness of God again. Jesus was touching to restore the image and likeness. And somehow the Jesus' apprentices, they need to touch people's life so they can restore people to the image and the likeness of God. Restore their dignity, heal their wounds, provide freedom, bring justice. That is what God requires from us. That is the kingdom. The Sabbath day must be a manifestation of the kingdom. The kingdom way. The Sabbath day must be the expression of God's mission and his kingdom. The Sabbath must be the day of freedom, of restoration of God's image and likeness. Jesus touched them. Many were possessed by demons, and the demons came out at his command, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But because they knew he was the Messiah, he rebuked them and refused to let them speak. So what Jesus did throughout this week, after the Sabbath is done, he's healing and rebuking the spirits. What he has done on the Sabbath day, healing and rebuking the spirits. We need to manifest the kingdom every day of the week, not just on the Sabbath, but the Sabbath must be a declaration of that God rules, that He's the ruler of the universe, the sovereign one, and we must follow His example. And interesting here, the demons declare, "You're the Son of God, you are the Messiah." And here we have two ideas: the Son of God and the Messiah, the promised one, the King of God's kingdom, the Messiah. And when we study the healing or the rebuke of the demon on the synagogue, I think 2 or 3 days ago, I focused that Jesus asked the demons not to say or speak, because maybe the demons would, they were trying to short Jesus' mission, to mess up with Jesus' mission. People were not ready to hear who Jesus really were, right? And people could kill Jesus. And that one aspect you understand. But that there's another aspect, and there are many aspects that I want to bring up to you today. One more aspect. Jesus asked the demons to shut up, because what they are declaring is just coming from their mouth, but not from their heart. "You're the Messiah, you're God." They are saying it, but they don't mean it. They don't live that. They don't submit and surrender to His Lordship. So if you are saying something that you don't leave, Jesus is saying, shut up. More important to say is to mean and do it. And that is something that we need as Christians. Pay attention to our lives. We may say we're Christians, but are we meaning that? Are we submitting and surrender to Jesus in a daily basis? Are we living the Lordship, living the kingdom values, keeping the Sabbath day as the Sabbath of the kingdom, the day of deliverance, the day of the Lord, to restore the likeness and the image of God? Are we doing that? May God bless us as we reflect and apply these lessons in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for everything you have done. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus' example, how to connect with you, how to serve and love. Thank you for Jesus' love and service, and help us to follow His footsteps. Help us to be like you. Help us, Lord, to follow Jesus' example. Help us, Lord, to love and serve on the Sabbath day, and make the Sabbath the day of the kingdom, the day of deliverance, the day of letting captives free. Help us, Lord. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to our questions for reflection. And here are the questions. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? And how can I share these lessons with others today? May God bless you. You see, being an apprentice of Jesus sometimes is not easy. It will challenge what we believe and how we behave and our spirituality. But we have this goal: to love God and do the ways that He wants us to do. Not our own ways, but God's ways. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.